This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, ironically enough, April 1st, in addition to being what we once would have referred to as April Fool's Day, it is National Walk Day, or Walking Day.
And we need that later.
We have more green space acreage per capita than anywhere in the state of Illinois. Just do it with some common sense, folks. I understand. Yes, you're right. The sunshine helps. Getting out helps. Walking helps.
It really does.
Yep. All right. Time now for the first and third Wednesdays of every month. We spend some time talking with our friends and partners at Decatur Memorial Hospital. We've obviously dedicated this time to this pandemic and what's going on in our community. And Drew Early, the CEO, joins us this morning. Drew, good morning. I hope you're staying safe and all of that. But take a couple of minutes to talk to me about your frontline folks, your nurses, your people in your ER, your doctors. Talk to me about what dedicated folks these are and what they're enduring right now.
Yeah, good morning, Brian, and thanks for having me. You know, right now we are very much in planning mode, and this is one of those strange times where, you know, we hope that the community will never have to see all the plans that we've put in place and all the preparations that we've done, but we want the community to know that we're doing a whole lot, and I will tell you the work being done by the leaders in the staff here at DMH is really second to none. And I think the message I want the community to hear this morning, in addition to everything that you've been talking about with social distancing and doing your part, but I want them to know that DMH is as prepared as possibly could be to respond to the community in a time of need when and if this pandemic comes to Decatur.
Now, clearly, right, we're hoping in 2 weeks that we don't look like New York, but yeah, it's a possibility that Chicago might. And, you know, one of the things I've learned, you know this because it's your business, I was stunned when I learned how many ICU beds are available in the entire state of Illinois. It seemed like a tiny number to me.
It is, and you know, really, when you think about the acuity of those patients and the resource that those really highly acute ICU patients require, you can see very easily how it will put a significant load on the system. But here at DMH, you know, and I'll say the same for St. Mary's as well, we've been working together to make sure that we're coordinating our resources, that we're learning from one another in this time, because there's a lot coming at us fast here, but we're taking staff that's been redeployed from other areas, helping to train them to take care of these really acute patients. We've even taken physical locations within our hospital and changed them around, created better airflow so we can isolate those areas and we can take better care of these patients. So, again, there's been a lot of preparation, and I truly hope that the community doesn't need to see it, but I want them to know it's there.
All right. And now more than ever, since this becoming part of the Memorial Health System, I mean, it's got to feel good knowing there's a much larger team.
It is, you know, and we meet every day, and we via web conferences, and we're talking with our partners in Logan County and Christian County and Sangamon County and Morgan County, and Menard County to figure out, you know, what are the needs, what is the experience we're having. Again, we're all going through this together. There's no playbook here, so the more we can learn from each other's experiences, we can take best practices and deploy them across the Memorial Health System and across the region, all of our communities are going to be better served by that.
All right. I read an article out of Boston in the last 24 hours, and I think this will become more of a concern as we move forward, but you've got folks that are worried about going to ERs with maybe heart attack symptoms or things, you know, because they're so terrified of this virus, they're not seeking emergency medical care.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that that's really, really important. First off, if someone has an emergency condition, we want them to seek emergency care when they believe need it. We don't want them to be afraid of coming to the emergency department. And we've taken steps to screen patients at our front door. And if they are respiratory in nature and do look infectious, we can help to segregate them so we're not mixing these populations. So we're trying very hard to keep it safe for every other patient that needs the emergency department. And you're right, when you're having those symptoms of chest pain or something else just isn't right, or you know, things that could, we talk about stroke all the time and understanding what those signs and symptoms are. You know, if you're having those things, we encourage you to get care. Now, there's also the other end of the spectrum, and it's those lower level things. And we've talked about how we've deployed this virtual care option for the community. Really encourage people to take care of that. You take advantage of that and get those issues taken care of without having to come into the ER. So this really runs the spectrum. But for the patients that are sick and need emergency care, we want them to feel comfortable and confident that they can come to us in their time of need.
You know, it is amazing to me. There is sort of like an information have and have not thing going on when we see all of this together. We've never had more information at our fingertips ever in the history of mankind, right? But there's a lot of people, I think, who are just sort of in denial, or they just, you know, we're hearing stories about people gathering in parks, you know, 25 guys doing a football league. I mean, it's like, it's crazy that as much information is out there, there are still people not hearing it, not getting it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to all own some of this ourselves. We've got to take some personal responsibility for ourselves and for our families and stay informed. There's a lot of resources out there. You know, you can get resources on NowDecatur.com. You can get resources from Macon County Department of Public Health. We have resources on DMH and Memorial Health System's website. There's a lot of good, reputable information out there that people can take advantage of. So we want them to use that information, make good decisions. Ultimately, let's help flatten this curve, keep people out of hospitals, and we'll all get through this together.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your virtual visits. I know you guys have waived the fees. This is a great way for people to have, you know, if they're having some sort of problem or they think they're having some sort of problem, they can talk to somebody in a very safe way.
Absolutely. So I would encourage all the listeners to go out, get on the App Store on Google or on iPhone, and you can download the Memorial app. Within that app, there's a option for a virtual visit, and we call it Memorial Now. You can launch within that, and you can set your account up, have all your information in there, so when you need it, it's ready to go. And it's really designed to help get patients the care they need for those lower acuity sort of things. You know, you wake up and like you might have a sinus infection, or you've got an earache, or you had a little rash develop or something like that. We can take care of that right through the app. You'll be conversing with a nurse practitioner that's based at a Memorial Health System physician office. They'll be able to, if appropriate, get you prescriptions sent to the pharmacy of your choice. And again, offering this at no cost right now will help us all maintain social distancing, stay out of public places, stay out of the ER, and really help the healthcare system that much more.
Yeah, but yet again, if you are experiencing some sort of, I mean, if you have an emergency, do not be afraid to go to the emergency room.
You're absolutely right. We are there, and we will continue to be there throughout all of this for any emergency, whether it's related to this COVID event or not.
And Drew, that's kind of the thing I think maybe people have a hard time wrapping their heads around, is that because of the lack of ICU beds, I mean, we have ICU beds to maintain a normal, healthy country, right? And that's the model it's based on. And we can say there's so many around the state, but that doesn't mean that you are where those beds are going to be or be empty. The whole thing with this is to not crash this front-end system and make sure that everybody has access to the healthcare. That doesn't mean that most people that get this are going to die. It's a really, I mean, it's a tough message, right? Because it's a lot of different fronts, and if you don't have a medical background, it can be confusing.
Yeah, it's the key here is we've just got to stretch this out as long as we possibly can, so that the healthcare system can take these patients in over a longer period of time, give them the treatment they need, get them well, and get them home. If all of these patients were to descend on the U.S. healthcare system over the course of the next 4 weeks, it would be really, really problematic. However, if we're able to stretch this out over 4, 6, 8, 10 months, now all of a sudden we're able to deal with it in a much more reasonable way.
Drew, we appreciate the time. Thank you. I know you're a busy guy, and we really thank you for carving out the minutes to be with us.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
All right, Drew Early, CEO of Decatur Memorial Hospital. I always feel so much better when I talk to people at the top that just really seem to have their act together.
Yeah, it's reassuring. The thing that he led off with, which is great for me, that I like to think about, is how prepared they are. He hopes we never have to see it. to know that we're going to all these measures.
Best case scenario is after all this is over, they go, oh, you over exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best case scenario.
That's right.
Governor has said as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope you're able to just criticize me to death for being too cautious.
Yeah.
That's a terrible place to be in for an elected official, but an elected official strong enough to go, that doesn't matter.
You don't want to be on the exact opposite end of that.
No. You don't want to be what the president has now had to do is just go from this extreme to this extreme. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. If he's there now, just quit bouncing back and forth.
Yeah, hang in there.
Yes.
Hang in that pocket.
But Drew's such a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get a sense that in a time like this, leadership becomes abundantly clear. Leadership, good leadership, and mm-hmm. lack of good leadership. I mean, it has never been more clear to me where it is in place and not in place.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.